Oh, Heavenly Father, we appreciate so much the joy of remembering who you are, how you've introduced yourself to us as our Heavenly Father. And today we come and we're grateful and we're humbled to think that what cost it was for you to claim us as your children. And so with the cross in mind, we look at this teaching from Jesus and we ask that you inspire us, that you help us to discern the instruction that you have for us, that you would encourage us, to strengthen us by your Spirit to overcome our challenges, and Lord, to be a blessing to the people in our lives who are facing challenges and who need you. We thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Friday was Lisa's birthday. So for several, happy birthday, Lisa. All right. Oh, you're good. Cha-cha-cha. So, probably more like years than months, but for several months, Lisa has said, Mike, we've got to get rid of that storage unit. And my response has always been, yeah, I know, but not today. Well, I knew that that was wearing very thin. And so, I don't know, a few weeks ago, a month ago, I said, Lisa, for your birthday, I am emptying that storage unit. And I am happy to report that on Friday, that storage unit is empty. Yeah. I can barely stand up. It is probably the most sobering passage of Scripture that we come to today. If we read it correctly, it should cause every one of us to pause and to reflect on our relationship to God. It has to do with our life's commitment and how that impacts our judgment in the end. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and we are at the kind of the final verses of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, verses 21 to 27. Next week, we're going to close with with Matthew's closing comments of his reflection on this message and what the people did. But today, we're looking at Jesus' closing comments. It's his so what about what he's been saying. And let's look at it together. Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Okay, so sobering words, but let's look at them a little more carefully. First of all, fraudulent confessions. Jesus said, you will say, Lord, Lord, the right words are spoken. Lord, Lord, these are the right words because Lord means maximum authority, and Jesus is God, and He is our maximum authority. It's the right word. It's technically the right confession with our lips, which Paul said, if you're going to be saved, you're going to confess with your lips and believe in your heart. And so it's the right words that are spoken. It's even the right actions that are taken. He said, you prophesy in your name, and you drive out demons, and you perform many miracles. These are all good actions, but it is possible to perform the right actions and to do the right things with the wrong devotion. Looking right along, the right words are spoken, the right actions are taken. So Jesus is not forbidding good works. Rather, He is exposing the deception of their hearts. The wrong devotion is exposed. The right devotion is, he who does the will of my Father. Knowing and doing God's will is the mark of Christ's disciples. And so, again, these words are cause for us to give thought.
Sorry.
Do we need some help? Can I help?
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
Go ahead. Maximize
that. We got the other stuff out, but now I'm just getting bigger. There we go. Thank you. Okay, I won't bother you again. Huh? Sorry.
You didn't bother me. So. Okay, so under the fraudulent confessions. So you hear what I'm saying, and these are confessions. These are people. He is not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to people who have said, I want to be your follower, Jesus. And in his saying to those who have come to him for teaching, not all of you who call me Lord, Lord are doing God's will. So we really have to pay attention. He's talking to the church and saying, some of us have the wrong devotion. And we use the right words, we do the right things, but we've got the wrong devotion. Jesus gives this solemn profession. He says, then I will tell them, the false confessors. He said, I never knew you. They used his name, but he never knew them. Their profession was verbal, not moral. Okay, so you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. This is the thing that he's getting at. Their profession, again, was verbal, not moral. It involved their lips, but not their hearts. And when we read heart in the Bible, it's talking about your life. And so I never knew you. Your life wasn't with me. You didn't do what I said, what I told you to do. Jesus said, away from me. This is judgment. This is why we do what we do in leading people to Jesus. We want people to not hear these words, away from me, depart from me. Jesus doesn't reject those who he knows, but it's possible to be self-deceived. And this is where this is such a sobering passage of Scripture. To really say, Lord, is it you that I'm following? Lord, is my heart yours? Do I belong to you? And we want to humble ourselves to hear these words and not just pass them off as, oh, those are aimed at somebody else. We want to take a deep reflection and say, I certainly don't want Jesus to call me an evildoer. Those he does not know may have done religious things, but their lives were not good, but evil. And this is This is very challenging.
I brought this again today. This is my favorite painting of Rembrandt.
To show you again that Jesus told the story of the prodigal son to share God's heart for the prodigal, those who have drifted away from the family, those who have found themselves away from the family of God, away from the security of the Father, and found out that it's not good. And the beauty of this story is that the prodigal was repentant. He came to his senses. He said, "This is crazy, feeding pigs and not even being fed myself. This is dumb. I got to go home. I don't deserve to go home as a son. I'll go home as a servant. Yeah, that's what I'll do." There's a repentant heart. "Dad, don't take me as a servant. I sinned against you. I sinned against God. Just have me as a servant, not as a son." The father would have nothing to do with that. That's the father's heart. Jesus was teaching the beautiful heart of God for the repentant. Is that different than what we're experiencing here in this word? No. Jesus doesn't want us to find him not knowing us. But to know him, we have to repent. We have to turn away from our way of doing things and submit to his way of doing things. And that's where kind of the rubber meets the road for those who want to be followers of Christ. So this leads to the final story that Jesus tells, this addressing mere intellectual knowledge, verses 24 to 27. Hear them again. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So Jesus tells, in the story, they heard the same message. Everyone who hears these words of mine, both the doers and the hearers, the doers of God's word and just the hearers of God's word, they both hear the same message. He's talking to us, people who are in the church. They built the same house. They both built their house. From the outside, you couldn't tell a difference between the houses. Isn't that so true? There is nothing about our exterior that indicates whether we're walking with God or not. Nothing about our physical presence, right? They built the same house. We look the same. We're just human beings. The difference was the foundation. And that foundation was revealed in the storm. So you think about our lives and the storms that come. They reveal if indeed we're founded on Christ. The same message, same house, different foundations. The foundation is God's word. It's God's will. It's doing God's will. You look puzzled.
wind tunnel kicked on, the AC is just like...
Okay. We're good, right? So, the ones who built on rock endured the fierce storm. The ones who didn't bother with the relationship to Jesus, with matters of the heart, who on the outside looked like any other Christian, fell under the fierce storm. So what? The standard that Jesus has laid forth in His Word is obedience. It's not the good works that save us, rather a commitment to obey God through our relationship to Jesus. What Jesus is saying is that our salvation will be evidenced by good works. He's not condemning good works. It's just that we don't want to fall into the category of good works save us. They don't. Jesus saves us. There is no changing that fact. The cross is our chief evidence that Jesus is our Savior. His shed blood, His broken body, that will always be our salvation. But the standard, the rock foundation of our life is obedience to Him. That therefore, when we say, Lord, Lord, we are addressing the chief of our soul. He is the boss. He is the one calling the shots. He is the one we pray to and ask for help and guidance. He is our true Lord. Our salvation will be evidenced by our obedience to Him. And the commitment is relational. When I hear these words of Jesus, I never knew you, I always want to humbly go to Him to get right, to seek His guidance, to honor my commitment to faithfulness. Really, that's all He calls us to, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Trusting in the Lord with all our heart. This is His call on us. It's a relational commitment. This is why there's no inconsistency between the story of the prodigal son and this teaching at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is a hard teaching. Away from me, I never knew you, you evildoers. That's the words of the judge. And our Savior is our judge. It would be greatly unfair to not know that. It would be deceitful to go through life thinking that we just were. We just belong to God, rather than having this expectation of obedience and finding out at the last moment. This ancient teaching is for our good. This scripture that I muddle through in front of you is sacred. It's meant for our well-being. Our Heavenly Father does want us to return, does want for us to repent of our sins, to acknowledge, Lord, I need your help. Lord, she wants that storage unit emptied. Lord, if I'm going to honor that gift, I need your help. It doesn't matter what it is. This is our God who loves the relationship with us. This is the rock solid foundation that we are offered to build our lives on the rock. To trust that we may think the burden is too much, and that's what the older brother wanted everyone to believe. I'm not gonna celebrate that boy's return. I'm not gonna forgive him. Father, what kind of fool are you? That's the heart that Jesus condemns and says, no. The heart of the Father is a forgiver. He wants you back. He loves you. He will honor being your Father. Trust Him. Know Him. You'll know Him through Jesus. You'll know Him by acknowledging Jesus in everything, being truly the Lord. Even emptying out a storage unit. No matter what the task, no matter what the burden. Does He know us? That's really the sobering question, isn't it? When we look at that passage, that it really does cause us to pause and say, Lord, know me, whatever it takes. Lord, try my heart. Expose everything about me, Lord. Just know me. Lead me in your way. So the last comment is that Christianity without Christ is evil. Obedience to Jesus is the key to living God's way of life. So I'll tell you, for me, a bad habit with Lisa was saying, I know, but not today. Right? With Jesus, we want to develop the relationship by saying, yes, Lord, your will be done today. Whatever it takes, Lord, today. What I love about this day is that we have communion. That we have the simple, yet our commander-in-chief's reminder of our relationship to Him. It's personal. It's giving us the opportunity to pause to give thanks. You know, that's what the Eucharist means. That word means thanksgiving. We celebrate communion together. We give thanks together, remembering that Jesus gave His body. Before they nailed Him to the cross, they flogged Him. They beat Him ragged. The description that Luke gives, who's a doctor, is brutal. And this reminder is so important because it's so personal. He gave His body broken. He shed His blood. We honor bloodshed. I mean, even in this day and age, those who serve in our nation and die on the battlefields, we honor Jesus wants us to remember that by his blood we are forgiven. Not to make a hero out of him, but to remember that the Son of God gave his life on the cross. That's why we do communion. That's why we remember humbly and soberly who he is. The only begotten Son of God who took our sins upon himself, endured the cross and the shame of it. He endured our shame. That was our shame. That was the sinfulness of humanity that went to the cross. If we forget that, we are very prone to being people with lip service to God. You following? Giving lip service to God is not enough. He demands our heart. He wants to know us. He wants to relate to each and every one of us as a father to a child. As the one pictured by Rembrandt who's embracing the prodigal, the same God who will judge our soul, he wants to know us. And so today when we take communion, do so very soberly and humbly. And acknowledge that gratitude to Jesus for what he's done. This whole Sermon on the Mount is about Jesus teaching us God's way of life. These are the expectations. These are what I expect of you, Jesus says. To use the first person like Jesus calling, Rhonda. Jesus teaching his followers, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by religion. The right words, the right actions. Make sure your heart, make sure you're known by God. And the way to do that is to not just call him Lord, but to follow him as Lord.
Amen.
Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, thank you. Lord, the people in my life, let me see them through your eyes. Lord, show me the way. Lord, examine my heart. Show me those ways that are offensive. Lord, walk with me. Help me to do the right thing. Lord, know me inside and out. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts through your word. Thank you for calling us into this relationship. And thank you for sober and humble reminders like this to not get, too cocky with our attitudes. Thank you for the way Jesus brought this message, this series of teachings for his disciples, for us, to really take to heart the difference between the lip service and really committing our heart to you. And thank you for the sacred reminder of your broken body and shed blood. The reminder of the cross. The reminder of the forgiveness that only comes through you. Lord, help us to resist the thought, the idea that, oh, it's so narrow to just trust Jesus. Lord, we're just so grateful that you did what you did. You rescued our soul. And so today, as we come to the table, as we partake in the broken body and the shed blood, please reaffirm our relationship. Renew in us that knowledge. You know us. May we walk humbly and gratefully, knowing that you know us. May that be the message that you affirm to us today through this act of communion. Amen.